It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Today we look back 100 years to the time Cardiff City were almost crowned First Division champions. Whenever football pundits and supporters wax lyrical about the best ever finish to a top-tier title race, they inevitably talk about Liverpool, Chelsea, Manchester United, Manchester City, Arsenal and more. But the Guardian newspaper got it spot on a few years ago when they wrote, "Huddersfield Cardiff tops them all into a cocked hat." There have been dramatic finishes, OK, across the seasons, but none could possibly outshine the finish, which left Cardiff City devastated and Huddersfield Town champions. The Bluebirds and the Terriers served up, in the words of The Guardian, the greatest last-day drama of all. The final day to beat all final days in Division One or the Premier League came a century ago on May 3, 1924. Goal average decided the issue, and only 0.024 of a goal separated the rivals. A remarkable finish. Huddersfield's goal average was 1.818, while Cardiff finished on 1.794. On that fateful final day, City drew 0-0 at Birmingham City's St Andrews ground, having beaten the Blues 2-0 at Ninian Park only a few days earlier. Huddersfield achieved their target and won 3-0 at home against Nottingham Forest. One goal for City would have made them champions, and they even missed a penalty with 20 minutes left at Birmingham. It was desperately close, a fact confirmed by news that if modern-day goal difference had been used to decide the issue, Cardiff would have had the Football League Championship pennant flying in their city. Both clubs finished with what amounted to a plus 27 goal difference, and the Bluebirds would have lifted the crown by virtue of having netted one more goal, 61 against Huddersfield's 60. The full goal average stats was Cardiff 61 goals for, 34 against, Huddersfield 64, 33 against. Try and solve that puddle without a calculator. Certainly Huddersfield's players tried to work out the various possibilities before that those last fixtures, and their captain, Sam Wadsworth, revealed how they got to work with pencil and paper, working out goal averages. He said, "We gave ourselves headaches and were still unable to agree on the figures." Herbert Chapman talked to his players, explaining that if Cardiff won their last match at Birmingham, they would be the title winners. But if City drew, Huddersfield could nick the title, providing they defeated Forest at home by 3 goals. Wadsworth, according to teammates, pondered the situation, put down his pencil, cleared his throat and said, "We're cutting it a bit fine, lads." Birmingham v Cardiff was locked at 0-0 well into the second half, while Huddersfield scored when George Cook fired home a simple chance before the break at Leeds Road, after Forest goalkeeper Alf Bennett made a comical error and spilled a shot. That would have caused a stir on BBC's modern-day Match of the Day, because Bennett was born in a Derbyshire village called Clown. Cook, from County Durham, added a second goal on 57 minutes. The difference 100 years ago, of course, is that neither Cardiff or Huddersfield could easily find out how their rivals were faring. The Bluebirds' big moment came when they were awarded a penalty with 20 minutes left at St Andrews. Jimmy Gill's header flew past England goalkeeper Dan Tremeling and was certain to fly into the net. Blues defender Eli Ashurst, though, decided to intervene and threw himself across goal to fist the ball away. Back to The Guardian, whose description of Ashurst's save was, "It was cheating of the cruelest kind." As a result, the only genuine chance of winning the league that Cardiff ever had went when they missed that spot kick. Ashurst, who spent 4 years playing for Birmingham before passing away through ill health at the age of 25, had conceded a penalty, stopped a certain goal and wasn't sent off. Gill and Jack Evans were Cardiff's regular spot kick men, but both were reluctant, and it was top scorer Len Davies who took responsibility. Incredibly, this was the first time Davies had taken a penalty in match conditions, but he grabbed the ball and marched to the spot. The forward, a frail-looking player originally from Splott in Cardiff and signed from Victoria Park FC, fired more than 100 goals for Cardiff during his playing days, but he mishit this shot badly. Goalkeeper Tremeling saved comfortably. Bluebirds captain Fred Keener said, "There is no doubt the knowledge that the penalty meant so much to us unnerved Len. Under normal circumstances, it was a gift goal, but Len muffed his shot and the ball ran gently to the goalkeeper." Davies admitted later in life that the miss haunted him. Huddersfield, though, still had to score a third goal, and 10 minutes later, after that Davies miss, they found a way. The Guardian reported, "Ted Richardson went on a dribble before setting up centre-forward George Brown for our third goal." He was the highest ever goal scorer for Town with 159 in all competitions and had been signed directly from his coal pit team, Mickley, in Northumberland during 1921. When the final whistle blew at Leeds Road, Huddersfield manager Chapman ran to his office and waited for the phone to ring. And waited. The call he expected came after an agonising few minutes. Cardiff had drawn 0-0 and Huddersfield were champions by that 0.024 of a goal. Cardiff's manager, Fred Stewart, ran the Bluebirds team for 22 years from 1911 to 1933, and the people of Cardiff knew he was doing a wonderful job during the 1920s. They turned out in force when Stewart and his players arrived back in Wales. It was 10:25 when the train pulled in and thousands of people gathered at Cardiff station on the platforms, in the subways and outside to cheer their heroes back home. The Guardian wrote, "The crowd called for Len Davies, who looked pale and tired after the journey back from Birmingham, still reliving his miss." The 1923-24 season undoubtedly will remain Cardiff City's most notable what-if, the moment when a proud group of players almost became champions. Huddersfield went on to win the First Division title in three successive seasons, 1923-24, 1924-25 and 1925-26. Although Chapman moved on to Arsenal before the third success. He vowed to make Arsenal the greatest club in the world and later led Arsenal in back-to-back title triumphs before ending his managerial career. The Londoners were First Division champions five times during the 1930s. Chapman, the son of a coal miner, was a hugely successful manager and highly respected throughout the game. There is a bronze bust of him outside the Emirates Stadium in North London and a statue outside. Huddersfield were presented with a replica of the statue. I wonder, though, what would have happened if the Bluebirds had pipped Huddersfield in that first season. Cardiff City did get back at Herbert Chapman a few years later. It was his Arsenal team they defeated in the 1927 FA Cup final. Stewart talked about his team and started with Captain Keener, the man whose dedicated service is marked by that statue of him outside Cardiff City Stadium. "Fred summed up the attitude in our team," said Stewart. "I honestly do not think the word beaten is in his vocabulary." Stewart then quoted from Shakespeare's Henry IV, saying, "I profess not talking, let each man do his best." The Bluebirds boss said, "Jimmy Gill was a marvellous capture for us, and Joe Clennell has been the making of our team, combining as he does with our marvellous servant Jack Evans. Len Davies too was a great find. I was asked many times who is the best player you've had through your hands. There are so many. Bill Hardy is a bit special. He never failed, didn't have a bad game in his life. A wonderful halfback. Len Davis attended Gladstone School in Cardiff and later, as a teenager, trained to become a marine engineer. He spent time at sea pursuing his new career and played youth cricket for Glamorgan when he was at home in Wales. Victoria Athletic were his first club as a footballer while he joined Cardiff City in 1919 at the age of 20. During 12 years playing for his home city club, Davis netted 128 times in 306 league matches, many of those played at the highest level in England. There were 179 goals in all competitions for Davis. For many years, he was the only Cardiff player to have netted more than 100 goals for the Bluebirds, later joined by Peter King on 111, Robert Earnshaw on 109, Brian Clark with 108, Carl Dale on 103, Derek Tapscott 102, Jimmy Gill 101 and John Toshack 100. Cardiff-born Ernie Curtis was a teenager when Cardiff went desperately close to being First Division champions and was still a few years away from making his debut. But he remembered most of the players from that time. Curtis helped Cardiff win the FA Cup and Welsh Cup in the same season of 1926-27, and the Bluebirds also lifted the Charity Shield, a hat-trick of trophies in the same year. His first manager was Fred Stewart, who signed Curtis from Cardiff Corinthians, just as he was settling into life as a footballer and off the pitch becoming an electrician. Fred was a coal merchant. Fred was a coal merchant, said Curtis. He didn't have anything to do with training. That was left to George Latham, who always had a cheery grin and was usually accompanied by his dog Bonzo. What a character George was, always ready with a joke. Some of the senior players helped with training. Fred ran a tight ship. We all played for each other and got on well as a group. Travel was always by train and we favoured certain hotels as a team. No late nights, no monkey business allowed in those days. If you were caught straying, you were immediately fined 2 weeks' wages. And at the time, I was on £8 a week. There was no appeal against the fine. We had a couple of drinkers in the team, but everything was in moderation. The directors were a boozy lot and weren't wealthy men. Not many people that knew that George put money into the club from time to time. He liked to drink, though, and George was drunk for a week after we won the FA Cup in 27. Sometimes, though, he would be at Ninian Park all night preparing our equipment for important matches. George was so dedicated and we liked him immensely. There have only been five occasions when top flight title race came down to goals difference. There have only been five occasions when the top flight title race had come down to goals. The goal difference replaced average for the 1976-77 season. In 1924, Huddersfield won. 1950, Portsmouth edged out Wolves on goal average. In 1953, Arsenal pipped Preston on goal average. In 1965, Manchester United took the title ahead of Leeds on goal average. In 1989, Arsenal beat rivals Liverpool 2-0 at Anfield in the final game to earn the championship on goals scored because the sides had the same goal difference. Well, now finally, let's meet the team who played at St Andrews, Birmingham in that final fixture on May the 3rd, 1924. Tom Farquharson was a Dublin-born goalkeeper who played for Cardiff City between 1922 and 1935. He made 481 league appearances before retiring in 1935. He was a natural athlete who played Gaelic football and rugby union before turning to football, winning the FA Cup, Charity Shield and Welsh Cup four times with the Bluebirds. Tom had become involved with the Irish Republican Army, and his grandnephew, David Farquharson, described his role as non-violent, saying it was mainly about campaigning, putting posters up, delivering messages or looking after someone in a safe house. He was caught taking down wanted posters of IRA members near St Stephen's Green in early 1921 and was arrested by the British Army. Tom's father, a builder and plumber by trade, had contacts within the army and secured his son's release on the proviso that he would leave the country. Then, aged 21, Farquharson packed his bag and moved to South Wales. He had a brief spell as a rugby-playing fullback for Blackwood, but when the football team Oakdale needed a goalkeeper, Tom made the switch. He caught the eye of Abertillery, a team several divisions higher, and played a season for them before Cardiff City came calling. Tom played for Northern Ireland and ERA at senior international level. He always carried a gun in his bag, and teammate Ernie Curtis said, "Tom opened up on his life in Ireland, told me about being on the move from house to house, and added that he always carried a gun. He opened up his kit bag in front of me, and there it was." Jimmy Nelson, the Greenock-born Scottish fullback, started his playing days with amateur club Belfast Crusaders. A boilermaker by trade, Nelson played in both cities' FA Cup finals during the 1920s, and after leaving South Wales, captained Newcastle United to FA Cup final success against Arsenal in 1932. In the opening match of 1925-26 against Manchester City, Nelson became the first player sent off playing for Cardiff after a confrontation with Tommy Johnson and was suspended for 4 weeks. He actually missed 7 matches. Jimmy was in the Wembley Wizards Scottish team when they defeated England 5-1 at Wembley Stadium in 1928. After ending his playing days, he became landlord of the Greyhound Inn near the Hayes Corner of Bridge Street in Cardiff. Jimmy Blair was a left-back born in Glenboig, Lanarkshire, who played for City between 1920 and 1926, returning to Ninian Park in the 30s to join the coaching staff. He also played for Bonnybridge Thistle, Glasgow Ashfield, Clyde and Sheffield Wednesday before coming to South Wales. He became a landlord in Cowbridge and Cardiff for many years after ending his playing days. His son Doug played for City after the Second World War. Harry Wake was a right half born in Seaton Delaval, a village in Northumberland. He signed for Cardiff from Newcastle United in 1923 and stayed until 1931. He played in Cardiff's 1-0 FA Cup final defeat against Sheffield United in 1925, but missed the win against Arsenal because of illness. Harry was so ill that one London newspaper reported that he had died, and a Bluebirds fan took a wreath to Cardiff Royal Infirmary, only to find Wake on the mend and sitting up in bed. Wake was described as a pale-faced waif-like figure who was also a committed professional who shrugged off setbacks and earned the respect of Cardiff City's fans with honest endeavour. Captain Fred Keener was Cardiff-born Bluebirds captain who led his team to a trophy treble in 1927. And when World War I started, Keener joined the Footballers' Battalion, the Middlesex Regiment, and fought in the Battle of the Somme. He suffered a severe shrapnel wound to his thigh in 1916 and ended the war as a physical training instructor. Keener's battalion were moved into the main trenches, which were knee-deep in mud and infested with rats. Fred Keener was the Bluebirds captain who led his team to that trophy treble in 1927. When World War I started, Keener joined the Footballers' Battalion, the Middlesex Regiment, and fought in the Battle of the Somme, suffering a severe shrapnel wound to his thigh in 1916. He was at the Battle of Delville Wood on the Somme, and Keener described that as a hellish battle. "I must pay tribute to the good work of the Footballers' Battalion," he said. "The German artillery threw everything at us, and then some. It simply rained shells. The wonder was that any of us came out alive. It was attack and counter-attack, but the men stood the real test." Keener's shrapnel injury was severe, leaving him unable to walk. An unknown soldier saw him attempting to crawl away from the incoming fire and helped him back to medical facilities. Doctors considered amputating his leg, but decided against it, and he was removed from the Western Front to an army hospital in Dublin. He was promoted to the rank of sergeant and later awarded the Victory Medal, the 1914-15 Star and the British War Medal. Keener was discharged in June 1939 due to his diabetes condition just before the start of the Second World War. Two of his sons, Frederick and Alfred, were killed in action during that conflict. After the Second World War ended, Keener worked as a builder's labourer for several years, waking up in the early hours each morning to catch a lift in a newspaper delivery van before walking the remaining 5 miles to the site. He attended Cardiff City matches until his death in 1972, and his ashes are buried at Thornhill Crematorium. Billy Hardy, left half, who was born in Bedlington, Northumberland, and started his playing career with Bedlington United before moving on to Scottish club Hearts, Stockport County and then Cardiff. It was rumoured that the Bluebirds manager, Fred Stewart, was so keen to sign Hardy, he paid the £50 transfer fee out of his own pocket. Hardy spent 21 years at Ninian Park and made 590 first-team appearances. Before Cardiff's 1927 FA Cup victory, the Daily Herald newspaper wrote, "There is no more popular player in South Wales than Billy Hardy." When he appeared on a newsreel shown in Cardiff cinemas, the audience are said to have cheered for 10 minutes. Hardy started his own business as a coal merchant alongside his playing career in 1913, operating in Catays, Cardiff. Following his retirement, he emigrated with his wife Olive to Tasmania, Australia, where he ran a grocery store. They returned to Cardiff in 1963 before moving to Iver, Buckinghamshire. He served during the Great War, was demobilised owing to injuries sustained in battle during 1918. Len Davis was a goal-scoring ace, born in Splott and attended Gladstone Road School. He trained as a marine engineer as a teenager and spent time at sea. He played cricket for Glamorgan at youth level, but opted for football and after starting with Victoria Athletic, signed for Cardiff. The Wales international scored a club record 179 goals for the Bluebirds in all competitions before moving on to Thames and then Bangor City. Davis met his future wife Gwendolyn Stroud because she was a fervent supporter of the Bluebirds. After retiring from playing, Davis became a school sports coach at Mostyn House School, Cheshire, before working on an aircraft production line during World War II. Jimmy Gill, a Yorkshireman born in Sheffield, was the first player signed by Cardiff manager Fred Stewart after they gained promotion to the Football League in 1920. He began his career at Sheffield Wednesday before being sold to Cardiff for £750. He scored 82 goals in 184 appearances. Two of those came in Cardiff City's first ever Football League match, a 5-2 win against Stockport County. After leaving South Wales in 1926, Gill played for Blackpool, Derby County, Crystal Palace and Scarborough. He was born in 1894 and passed away in 1964. At the age of 70. Jimmy Jones, a centre-forward who played for Cardiff City between 1922 and 1924. He was born in Rhondycannon and Taff and played for his local club, Tom Pentra, before moving on to Portsmouth, Cardiff, Wrexham, Aberdeen Athletic, Torquay United and Worcester City. In later years, Welsh international Jones ran a confectionery shop in Cardiff. Joe Clonell, the inside left, was born in New Silksworth, a suburb of Sunderland, and started his playing days with Seaham White Star, then moved to Silksworth United and Seaham Harbour. Clonell later played for Blackpool, Blackburn Rovers, Everton and Cardiff City before completing his career with Stoke City, Bristol Rovers, Rochdale, Ebervale, Barry, Bangor, Distillery and Lancashire club Great Harwood. Over his Football League career, Clonell scored 129 goals in 347 appearances in all competitions. That goal included 45 in 142 games for Cardiff. He spent 4 years at Ninian Park and was described as a silky inside forward in possession with an ability to ghost past opponents, particularly Jack Evans. He spent 4 years at Ninian Park and was described as a silky inside forward in possession with an ability to ghost past opponents. At 5 feet, 5 inches tall, he was nicknamed the Little Demon and called a terror for his size. He lost his best years to the war after ending his playing days. Moved into coaching and management. After taking up a coaching role at Accrington, he moved away from football in 1934 and became landlord of a public house in Blackburn before moving on to Blackpool. Clennell was killed in a car accident in Blackpool in 1965 when he was 89 years old as he tried to cross the road. At the age of 38, he scored a hat-trick for Rochdale against Crooke Town during an 8-2 FA Cup win. Albert Whitehurst scored 4 goals in the same tie. Whitehurst, from Fenton-Stoke-on-Trent, netted 117 goals in 169 matches for Rochdale. Jack Evans is the final Cardiff City player on our list for that day against Birmingham. Welsh international Evans was born in Bala, Gwynedd, and spent most of his playing career with Cardiff City. He made more than 350 first-team appearances between 1910 and 1926. The left-winger was an apprentice printer while playing for local team Bala Wanderers and signed for Wrexham in 1908. He decided on a move to South Wales to gain experience as an apprentice printer, playing for Coombe Park before being spotted by City. He was the first player officially bought by Cardiff, costing 6 shillings, that would be 36 pence today, and club secretary Bartley Wilson said that fee included his fare from Treorchy. Welsh-speaking Evans had a fierce shot, a cannonball strike, which became known as the Bala Bang among City fans. He netted the first goal by a Cardiff City player at Ninian Park in their first friendly against Aston Villa. After his playing career, Evans became a journalist and was a regular in the Ninian Park press box. At the end of that momentous season, Cardiff went on their first overseas tour, playing matches in Czechoslovakia, Austria and Germany. They played 2 matches against Sparta Prague, losing 3-2 in the first game and winning 3-2 in the second. The tour concluded with a trip to Austria, where they defeated first Vienna 2-0 in front of an estimated 70,000 people, and then Germany, where Cardiff defeated Borussia Dortmund 2-0 and then drew 2-2 at Hamburger SV.
Podcast Network.